Previously on the Atypical Sports Show.
You know, one thing that I do want to talk about real quick is how bad are the Columbus people treating Terrell Pryor? Because that's the same vein of people that was dissing LeBron. Those are how people were.
Like
people talking about, hey, he left. Man, he had to leave. Give me an example of what you think happened.
Oh, like he walked into a sports bar.
Yeah, yeah.
Nigga!
I guess that was an interpretation, so that's okay. I'll give you that one.
Okay, yeah. That counts.
He walks into Econ.
And the supply and demand is not dead, nigga! ATPZ, how much for these pants? Won't you sign my balls? Sign my balls for a burger!
I'll tell you one thing. If you didn't have your freaking entourage with you, I know one thing. Jimmy Tressel was the best thing, a God-fearing man, faith-oriented, and I would freaking kick your ass if your entourage wasn't here.
Our program fell down as soon as we got you. I knew as soon as we had a running black quarterback and we got away from the white slow ones, this would happen, PZ.
Dude, why don't you do us a freaking favor and pull a freaking Plaxico Burress, who's from that stupid-ass Michigan State, and shoot your own self and all your tattoos, asshole, and you come out of jail 2 years, and wakely you wake up in hell.
I think that would make him leave.
Sports Radio is
atypical.
Can't you see we talking? White.
To the Atypical Sports Show with your host, Robin Key. The Atypical Sports Show brought to you today by www.exposurebizonline.com and Two Blondes. And make sure you visit www.exposurebizonline to get your free 30-minute consultation to how to expose your biz online. Yo, there was an initial concern for my boy because he's had a couple setbacks in the last month or so. So I just really had a concern for you, Key. I mean, I know your hero slash LeBron took an L. And I'm really, you know why I'm interested? Because I know you're a sports fan, but you are a reality sports fan. And you don't talk, you know, out of hate, or you don't talk out of so much love that you're not willing to admit what happened. And I just want to get your view about it, dog. I just want to hear how Key Holmes feels about the whole LeBron situation, because that is your dude.
You know what, man? At the end of the day, I feel like a complete idiot.
Why?
First and foremost, it's like I felt like I wasted a lot of time having conversations where my voice started normal and I raised up a pitch and I started getting emotional. Why? Because I'm defending LeBron.
Right.
I'm making excuses for a grown-ass, young-ass, child-ass, mature-looking, receding hairline-ass man, giving him personal excuses about his personal life, telling him he's still young, he still's got a chance to come back. Like, I felt exhausted now, like, for two reasons. I feel exhausted because that's a lot of energy when you're talking to haters and trying to give them the perspective that somebody's not that bad. I'm also feel relieved that, you know what? I dropped this fool off my whole emotional investment of my bank.
For this year or forever?
Forever. He's going to have to. I'm sorry, Miss James.
Ooh, I'm sorry, Miss Gloria.
Never met.
How would Delonte sing that?
LeBron cry.
He's a five a day. I F for it. Your boy LeBron, man, he fell off like a fucker. Why did I swear he's John Starks? I can't believe that. But it happened there.
Yeah. Did that dude do that? That's the whole thing about this whole thing. When I watched this series, I'm glad you brought that up, dude. That right there is the phrase of everything.
Did that dude just do that?
This dude that, like I said, I've been spending, he has been part of my mental brewing. You know what I'm saying? Like, far as when you like brew, or you make an investment and you try to turn that investment to make a withdrawal. Like, I wanted to withdraw on motherfuckers and say, Listen here, bitch, this is what I got on you. Pow! Like, I told y'all he was going to do so. Like, everybody wanted to speak. I told y'all.
Right.
But guess what? He showed us.
Right.
He showed us a lot of things that, as a matter of fact, I want to pass it on to you because I know you like LeBron.
I do like LeBron.
Him as much as I like him.
Right.
So as far as from realistically the most rational mind in this room between me and you, and I don't even know if that makes sense. That's like,
hey, who's the most rational between Rob and Key?
I don't know. Depends
on the subject.
But in this subject, it's right. You. So when you're watching games 4, 5, 6, like my boy Cool G Rap, 4, 5, 6 in the mix, who you going to get? What was you thinking, bro?
Man, I remember last Monday I tweeted out, the Mavs bench just got too much for them fools. I felt like it was the inevitable. When they won, I was like, man, as soon as they won game 5, I'm like, oh, they definitely going to win game 6. And when I tweeted out like on Sunday, I was like, when the beginning of the game, this game is over. I really felt like the game was over. But like I told you, I was torn. I was in a quandary because I don't want people to blame LeBron. And I was sticking up for him, too. Like, I wanted my boy JT from 206, Tacoma, Washington, to win a championship because it's a hometown homie. And I wanted him to win a championship. But on the other hand, I was torn because I didn't want LeBron to get the undue criticism. But then I stepped back. I looked at my semi-allegiance to LeBron James. And I had to reassess myself because, A, he's his 8th year in the league. Maybe he's not as young as we think we are. You made that point. B, it's like, man, there's things you need to do to get better. Is he doing those things in the offseason to get better? We will see. And the whole big thing, the third thing, is that I think the guy ultimately at heart is a nice guy.
Well, you know, I know he's a nice guy.
And that's what I don't want to see, a nice guy who has a fragile psyche, let that affect him and him not be the player that he could be. So I felt bad for him,
well,
man.
Well, I know he's a nice guy, Rob, because God has plans for him and only him. So you have to be nice to be the chosen one and for God to actually put aside everything he's doing in his world and say, you know what I need to do? I need to make LeBron learn a lesson because now is not the time. And I know I'm probably taking it out of context. Everybody kind of uses that God word. Mm-hmm. But I know he wasn't talking about it like specifically, or maybe he was.
I think he was.
Yeah, I don't know. That's
you know what? Here's the deal. I wouldn't have said that 3 months ago, but after seeing what him and Dwayne Wade did in the playoffs and how they act and how they really felt entitled, but they felt entitled to this title. Like, if the title was theirs, like, they felt like they already won it before they even won it. And so LeBron saying those things where it kind of busted out, where he said in a press conference, like,
you want to play it? Matter of fact, I don't know. Do you want you to read it or should we have Mike play the clip? I don't know.
I like Mike play the kid.
You know what I think I like? It's almost such an irrational
statement.
Thanks
for asking me. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you know what? Because I'm making some power moves. You know why? Because right now, I'm the one with the emotional crutch.
Right.
So I might be doing
some off-the-wall crap.
I might do some off-the-wall stuff today. I might make requests that like you normally aren't comfortable with. But guess what? It's for me. I'm like that little kid in the hospital, and you're coming
in
there like
in the hospital.
Yeah, and you.
I want to see how this one goes.
Yeah, I'm like that little kid in the hospital.
The cancer patient, or like this? Or like,
I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not Charlie Villanueva.
Okay.
I just have a Make-A-Wish Foundation,
right?
And my wish is that I wished I could hear Peanut Parker read the words that were actually like. The way LeBron sounded was something that someone like LeBron, like Peanut Parker, would say as far as when someone asks you these specific questions.
Right.
LeBron, does it bother you that so many people are happy to see you fail? Or Peanut Parker, does it bother you that so many people are happy to see your black Spider-Man ass fail?
I don't care about what nobody else say, man, because the way I see it now, as long as I'm getting that paper, you know what I'm saying? And that's not a little key. I really looked at the whole situation when I saw about LeBron in the press conference. I was like, cool, man. I'm glad he answered these questions the way you should be answering the questions. But when that fool hit them fools up with like, they got to wake up and live their lives, I was like, that's my nigga. That's how you got to talk to these fools out there, dog. Because the whole thing, they going to hate on me. And I know they waking up and they ain't got spider webs. They ain't got movie contracts. They ain't got people looking at them like, hey, maybe we want you to be in our movies. They ain't got nothing like that. All they got is their pathetic lives. Or they got to pay $49.95 for a ticket to see me make a lane and just not even pay attention while they're yelling my name. So the way I look at it, Peanut Parker, I'm on the side of LeBron. You know, you can ask me any question. I side with LeBron.
But Peanut Parker, do you think that you might be able to increase some of your acting skills to be maybe taken more seriously? Because your movies do have good potential. They're box office successes. Nah. But you haven't won that Oscar award yet.
Nah.
Do you think if you went to some acting schools in the off between filming?
Nah, I'm trying to be a billionaire, okay? You know, like that summertime stuff, you know, working on some acting school and do that stuff. I mean, I've already been given this God-given talent. We both agree that I could play Spider-Man. Like, there are very few people who can play Spider-Man the way I play Spider-Man.
Nobody make that...
I would do it, but I gotta get some paper to do that. You know, I'm like Michael Buffer with mine. You know what I'm saying? Every time I do that, that's like $5,000, dog. Okay. Straight up. So
I'll put it to you like this right here. Atypical sports show doesn't have the $5,000 for you.
Why you think I didn't do it? Okay. Yeah, sorry. I think so. But anyway, the way I see it is that LeBron made a decision to take his talents to South Beach. He said, he making $1 billion. He want to be a $1 billion athlete, hanging out with Warren Buffett. I'm not mad at the brother. That's all I got to say.
Well, you know what, man? I'm glad you gave your perspective. And it's typical from you. And I'm not trying to say anything.
What, you mean like atypical?
Well, it is typical. That was the typical answer I expected from you.
Because I ain't mad at nobody getting their paper.
No, I'm not either, man.
No.
But you know what I think at the same time,
Peter? What?
I like the way how your confidence never seems to waver. But at the same time, when I'm looking at you, I know that you might really be hurt when people criticize you. And I don't know if you're in denial or if you're just lying to yourself.
Man, you hit the right on the head right there. You know, people always want to talk about like it's hard, you know, like they got a hard life. And, you know, like Peanut Parker, you know, he don't do much. You know, he came at one movie. He's trying to get on another movie and like life is easy for himself as a black Spider-Man. You know, they don't understand what I've been through. You
Which
know,
is the next great superhero.
You know, that's what I thought.
He ain't Batman.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Every time they try to compare me to Batman, to Tobey Maguire, you know, and all that stuff. And I ain't even about that. So, you know, I ain't gonna lie and say it don't hurt. But here's the bottom line. They got to go back to their shitty ass lives. And I know I'm out here balling it. That's all I got to say, Doc.
I hear that, man. It's Peanut Parker, man.
Holla, boy. Holla.
It's the Atypical Sports Show. We'll be back. And when we come back, we pushing buttons. And the buttons I'm talking about is not emotional buttons. It's that fan interaction button.
I'm going on tour, and I'm going to show anybody out there that thinks for 1 second that maybe I'm second-guessing myself. That I am the greatest of all time, forever and ever. One surprise. Woo. I'm back.
To make it out the ice cold streets of the city, you better have a Christopher Word game with it. You better have a dance game similar to Diddy, or play beat ball above the rim like Smitty, Josh, Chris, Bosh, Paul, Gasol, or any other nigga that ball and tall. I used to sell it white as Paul Wall. Gave my young boy 3 of them in the mall, and he gon' bring me 75K back tomorrow. You know what Big about. You know what Bigger do. Ice water in my veins, heart pumping igloo. I'm familiar with the money, so who the fuck is you? What the fuck you do? Where the fuck you from? Who you knowing? Somebody get this nigga, I don't know him. And I'm about to jet off on his ass like a Boeing. Going, gone. So,
you don't like the prestige that I have in life? You don't like the notoriety? You need just the fact that I got more cars than most of you have friends. I got a big house on the big side of town. I got life pretty much the way I want it.
Surrounded by my brethren, my funeral is legend. Buried like a pharaoh with my jewelry in the desert. The government that hate me like Jesus for uncle. I did it for the grind, I did it for the hustle. I did it for the people on the bottom in the struggle. I did it for my comrades, did it cause I love them.
Custom made, brother. Woo. And I mean custom made. From the alligators to the Alligacini right here. There's only one. And I don't care if it's Tokyo, Japan, Greensboro, Richmond. Shut up, don't care.
to the city.
You're listening to the Atypical Sports Show.
Like Clinton. If you chase power, you ain't got
welcome
chase
back
women
to the Atypical Sports Show with your host Robin Key. 480-664-9378. Beautiful thing out here today. We got my boy Key. We talking a little bit of NBA. LeBron, Peanut Parker stopped by. Cool having him.
Thank you,
Peanut. Hey, thanks, Peanut, for hollering at us.
Yeah.
Yo, man.
Push them buttons, player.
Do it.
We got some people that want to talk about this LeBron.
JT.
All right, here's my tip. All right, watch the finals yesterday. Actually, want to watch second, no, the third and fourth quarter. I was too busy watching Game of Thrones on HBO. I didn't want to even watch this game because I really believe that the Heat were going to be what they were supposed to be, big, athletic men. But obviously, they showed us that they had no heart. Let me make a few points here. Your man, Dwayne Wade, single-handedly beat the Mavericks 5-6 years ago when I used to live in Miami. When I actually lived in Miami, I actually watched the game. He actually single-handedly beat the Mavericks by himself. So, obviously, in the offseason, we see that he gets the alien face, Bosh, and Mean Joe Green's son, LeBron James. Okay. You know, this guy puts up 17, 18 points. That's not bad. That's good. You know, and I'm not the type of person that's going to bash the one. I'm not a hater. But when you come from another team, when you're the man, then you come onto another team that already has a man, and then you have three of the supposed to be the top prospects that come to your squad, and you play like that, dude, I just don't get it. Brother, man, he was throwing passes to invisible guys. Wayne Wade was dribbling it off his foot. LeBron, as soon as he got the ball, he thought it was a hot potato, and he was passing as soon as it touched his hand. I mean, that dude really, really has no heart, man. And you don't get me wrong, I still think he's a hell of an athlete. He just shows, man, that he's nothing but a role player, man. That doesn't mean they can't win next year. I still think they have enough guns to win 3 or 4 years until Kobe gets Dwight Howard. But they still have it. But from what they played last night, they look really soft, though. They actually should have won the first 3 games in the series. They had them. They had them on the ropes. They were pounding them. They were so athletically superior to that team, man. It should have been over. But like I said, man, them dudes really had no heart. They really were looking at each other like, you make the last shot. You shoot it. No, you shoot it. You shoot it. And you can't have that. And I also blame Dwayne Wade, too. Like I said, he single-handedly beat the Mavericks by himself. But the biggest thing problem I'm having right now, fellas, is the blogs. There's the blogs. I'm not the type of person that throws that racial card. LeBron played whack. He showed his true colors. But some of the blogs are really hilarious. And then the owner's talking now, talking about you can't take shortcuts. The governor's thanking the Mavericks. I mean, come on, man. These are grown-ass men thanking the Mavericks. First of all, Cleveland's a dump city. Their team sucks. They're never going to win a championship. And you're over here thanking the Mavericks. Oh, boy, I tell you. And then the blogs, man. The blogs are hilarious. You hear the racial overtones on the blogs. Here's one of them. Oh, yeah, you know, Dirk, you know, this guy is hard worker. He's classy, you know. He trains hard, you know. He's not like these arrogant other guys. Like, so what are you trying to say? just say straight on what you want to say, dude. And then you got these people that you hang out with, these people you work with, everyone all of a sudden became Mavericks fans, and, you know, Dirk Nowitzki this, Dirk that. We all knew Dirk that game, but Dirk, he used to get counted on too for 3 or 4 years in a row. He was getting slapped around too, just like LeBron. They all were getting slapped around. He finally got his little hate day. Your man Jason Terry got busy. He actually won that game. But another sick point I have to make is these guys are bringing a trophy in Club Live. I used to go to the Club Live. It's in a hotel called Fountain Blue. These guys actually brought their trophy to Miami's hottest nightclub on Sunday. and no one did a damn thing about it. Actually, people were cheering. That shows them corny-ass Fairweather fans in Miami, because half of Miami fans can't speak English anyways. They are Fairweather fans. Just like the Dolphins Stadium, they have clubs inside the stadium. These are not real fans. They never have been. They're Fairweather fans. They're Badlands fans. It's more of a celebrity thing to go to their games anyways. But like I said, it's just hilarious how everyone's going against one man. It kills me. It really kills me how everyone's going against one man. I don't like Dwayne Wade or LeBron. But anyways, man, a lot of hater hate going on. Miami still has a couple years left with those guys. They should be.
To replay this message, press 1.
I think it's glad we cut him off then, because I think he was on his way to offending at least 5 different cultures. The things you said. So at least we cut him off at 3. I think that's pretty safe. But you know what, dude? Every point, I can't say I disagree with him, because in my whole perspective, I guess underlining what I wanted to say, I didn't know I wanted to say it, but when I say it, you'll get more clarity on it, is that, remember when I said I was cheering for kind of LeBron? I didn't want him to be hurt. You know, I didn't want him to lose because I know they would get on him. Really, the undertone is just the racial undertone for me. I mean, I just think that it doesn't help him that he's black. I think anybody would have got this criticism if they went around the way he did it. But just the fact that they're African-American males, they did that. There's always going to be racial undertone because this is race. I mean, it's not right or wrong. It's just what it is. We're in America. We're human beings. So I agree with him on that aspect. The thing about it is that shows that LeBron had a lot of people invested into what they thought he was going to be and not looking at what he was. LeBron has shown this characteristic of not being a closer and not being able to handle the pressure for several years. We just didn't want to believe it. So then when we got with Dwayne Wade, we're like, well, maybe he'll learn how to be that. So maybe we look after his 8th or 9th year right now, dog, and maybe he's just not going to have it. Maybe he's just not that type of dude. And maybe he'll win a championship. I really think he'll win a championship if he's just comfortable with himself. Now, here's the whole deal, man. You have to be comfortable with who you are. If LeBron was just comfortable that I'm not a superstar stud killer and just admit that, well, then he'd be fine. I think the only thing separating LeBron from greatness and being the greatest player in history is 2 things: a post-up game and a stop-and-pop jumper. He doesn't have either of those things. Both of those things would exhibit his skill and allow him to use his strengths. If he had a post-up game, they'd have to double in the post after a while, and then he'd use his great, incredible passing to find open guys. If he had a stop-and-pop, then he can get that game, get that quick shot, and get to the line. So LeBron, I'm going to give him one more year. I'm going to give him one more positive year. I'm going to give him one more benefit of the doubt for him to introspectively look at himself, get away from what other people are saying, and look and say, dude, what do I need to work on to make my game efficient? Now, if I'm a brother like this who has an atypical sports show with my boy Key, and I can see this, there's no reason in the world that he can't see that. And if he has people around who don't want to show him that, and he comes up next year, the first game I see him come up there, and he ain't got no 15-footer, or no post-up game, I'm off of that nigga, man. Straight up. Because to me, if you're supposed to be the greatest, then you work hard like that. To me, he can get a 15-footer if he spent that 9 to 5, if he treated his job like a job and did a 9 to 5, 4 days, 5 days a week, and was in there trying to work on his post-up game. So that's what I say. I agree with Shane, what he was saying. I know what he's saying about, I agree with what he's saying about LeBron. I know he's not a fan of either one, and I know that Dwayne Wade kind of effed up too this year, but I agree with him on this aspect. I'll still give him another couple of years.
A couple points real quick, because literally I can have a 5-hour show about this. But, I mean, just to piggyback, you're talking about him getting that 15-footer in that post-up game. Magic and Wilbon had an interesting conversation on the post-game, when it was funny because Wilbon was trying to make a point and then Magic said, so are you saying
yes
that he wasting time in a month? Is that what you're saying? Like, Magic was basically right. The one saying
that,
but he was putting it in Mike Wilbon.
I was so confused. Like, Michael Wilbon was talking about something else and he's like, so you're saying that he'd rather be spending time with endorsements than working on his game?
Yeah, like, and it was like, you're all Magic's right. Point.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And Michael Wilbon was like, I wasn't saying that, really. I was just saying that he needs to work on his game.
But it was a clever way of how Magic handles the media.
Right.
And at the same time,
right.
Magic is really the role model to follow. People always say Mike was the best. Where? I agree. Michael's a psychopath. Michael has that. Have you watched the movie Black Swan?
No, I've never seen it.
It's like where you're like, you don't care. Like you would, mm-hmm. I mean, it's like right. It is. And Magic, I mean, Michael was lucky enough to be in the right time and people liked Michael and they wanted to emulate him. But see, Magic is the person that overcame firing Westhead.
Yeah.
Magic was the person that overcame a lot of adversities.
Oh,
why?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he knows how to word things.
Right, yeah.
And when I saw Magic Johnson putting those statements in Michael Wilbon's mouth,
right.
That was the most incredible thing ever. And then I finally got why Magic Johnson might really be the greatest player ever to play to the NBA.
And more ways than one. I mean, seriously, think about it. Magic Johnson got a coach fired, got AIDS, had crazy party, kissed Isaiah Thomas in the finals. I mean, did some different stuff.
And even dissed Isaiah recently.
Yeah.
But he's always the guy on TV. Made crazy statements.
Right.
Like putting some of the Lakers' business on national TV.
Right.
But Magic is so loved that nothing Magic can do.
He can't do it.
That people would ever criticize. Michael
Jordan. He fought AIDS and he won, Key.
And you remember when we went to the All-Star game?
Yeah.
Only person I've ever been around that shut down a room. And I know there's other people that do that. But personally, and this is why this makes this special, because he doesn't care like he's better than anyone.
No, no.
So he walks into any room.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I remember when Delano and O was living at the other house and they went to some strip club.
Mm-hmm.
Magic walked in. Yeah. He walked in and shut it down. Magic walked in. You know what I'm saying? That's the point I'm trying to make.
Right.
Magic is so regular but extra.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Magic will still walk into anywhere. He walked into that brunch.
Yep.
Where Michael Jordan wouldn't walk in a brunch.
No, he wouldn't.
And Michael would have shut it down, obviously.
Obviously, but for
Magic,
different reasons.
They basically stopped. People stopped talking.
Michael would have shut it down because he would have told everybody they got to get out. Michael would have shut them down. Magic shuts them down where everybody's in awe.
Oh,
you know, and you know, and but see, that's
and I don't want to turn this into a Magic Johnson.
But it's a perfect parallel because Magic wouldn't say what LeBron said at the press conference. Magic wouldn't say
he would have actually said,
you know what he said? He would have said no. Actually, ask me the question. I'll tell you what Magic would have said.
The same question I asked Peanut Parker.
Yeah, same question. When LeBron got asked.
Same question.
And I'm Magic.
Does it bother you? So many people are happy to see you fail, Magic.
You know, I, the way I look about it, you know, is we all competitors out there, and there's some people out there who like us to fail, but you know, that's just motivation to, you know, to go out there in the gym, get better, get with my players, get with James, get with Byron, get with Kareem, you know,
first
come
names.
Back the next year, and then we just, you know, we become better as a team. That's what we would do.
Exactly. You know what we're going to do as a team? We're going to expand our team and get some more voicemails in here.
That sounds perfect.
Oh, yeah, so I got one more thing to say. If any of you guys out there TiVo's the championship game, when Jason Terry gets hot and he makes that three-pointer right before the timeout, he starts walking off the court. I know, I seen, and I heard what I heard. He comes off the court, and dude says, "I'm a real Crip," and he throws up a C. I've never seen that before in my life. I said, T-Vo right now. And if you T-Vo'd it, watch what Jason Terry does. He's gangbanging on the court. It's hilarious.
I don't know about that, Playboy. Hit the next message, Rob.
To play this message, press 1-4-7-4-5-4.
Yo, what up, Rob and Key? It's your boy, Rodimus Prime from the Black Gauchos podcast and the BlackGauchos.com. So my man LeBron just went out, and, you know, I was pulling for LeBron this year as opposed to the year before because I don't like to see people get overly criticized and the media heap upon them, and I don't support just hating on somebody just to hate on them. It's the same reason that I kind of like Kobe over the years, But this dude went out, you know what I'm saying, not in the way that I could support. And I'm glad he actually said some comments on his way out the door about how the haters got to wake up tomorrow and still be haters, you know what I'm saying? They still got to wake up and feel that way. And the thing is, man, like, people accuse me of being a bandwagon Miami Heat fan. I'm not a fan of the Heat. I just didn't want to see the little petty haters get a day in the sunshine when the Heat got bounced out the playoffs, specifically LeBron James, because I just think that, you know, people been hating since the decision, and it's just too much, man. There's no reason you should hate somebody you don't know like this. You know, stop deifying these guys. Stop putting them up on a pedestal, man. They're not your friends. They're not, you don't know these cats. So, you know, these people love LeBron for 7 years because that's what they were told to do, you know. And then the second that he steps out of line, they were told to hate him, and now they all hate him. You know, it's just sad, man. And I don't get why people that wanted LeBron to wanted him to win were considered bandwagon jumpers. I saw a couple people accuse y'all of it before on Twitter. Why aren't haters considered bandwagon? Isn't hate a bandwagon in itself when all of a sudden you're rooting for the field as long as they put out LeBron James? Isn't hate a bandwagon? You know, like, aren't you a bandwagon fan of anybody but LeBron? You know, you don't actually like the Mavs. You don't want to give them credit for a brilliant job, or Mark Cuban for being the best owner in basketball over the past few years. You don't want to give them that. But you want to sit up there and take away credit and just look at how LeBron lost to the Mavericks. You don't even want to give them credit for winning. So I want to know what y'all thoughts are on that. Is hate a bandwagon? And do y'all respect that type of bandwagon fan? All right, man. Love the show as always. Keep it up, Slay Key. Peace.
It touched home, man. It's been a very long time that I was watching a game for a layer of reasons. You know what I'm saying? There were right. So many layers. And even before the series started, Rob, we admitted, like, there's stories on both sides I can cheer for and cheer against.
Definitely.
But you hit it on the nail, man. I think the overcast, the lack of sun that some of these people are getting, where you just live in that gloomy, dark cloud, is creating an environment where misery wants to live with company.
You know, and it,
where
does,
the hate,
it does.
The hate is the new bandwagon, because I'm not going to say hate is accepted, because hate is a very strong word. I think open criticism and making yourself better than the next person because you're saying, hey, I would never do anything like that, so that makes me better than this man who's making so much money, and my jealousy for him, I can actually ignore that, because in reality, I want to criticize you to bring you down. We call it hate, and I understand that is the term that urban America uses, but I don't want to keep using that word because hate is very strong. Hate is on some genocide, I'll kill you stuff, and I don't think it's to that level, but I know one thing, we better curb this mentality before it gets to that level. I know the Nazis probably... Funny, I use Nazis with the whole Nowitzki thing.
That's not even right.
But I bet you the Nazis probably started.
And they're actually Nazis, not Nazis.
I don't know, man. I said Nowitzki's.
There's Slotsky's Deli.
Okay.
And then Laverne and Shirley worked at...
I don't know, you tell me.
Then they work at the Shotties. Then they work at the beer plant.
Oh, whatever.
Okay.
Whatever, Pantalones in Helente.
Smarty pants. Okay, so good. Okay, so you were making a point because I wanted to comment on that.
Yeah, my point basically was the Nazis or the Nowitzkis, or my bad, the Nazis probably had a starting point
right.
where they started criticizing the less than Aryan people, like, oh, the Jews are, look at them, they got all that money, they control things, that's not right. Where it leads to real hate, where I'm going to come to the point where I'm setting up gas chambers. There's always a beginning.
Okay.
There's always.
Whoa.
Well, I'll put you like this. I'm
Thank
serious.
You, please,
I'm serious
please.
As hell.
Okay, I know you are.
Because in
I'm
this
scared.
Environmental, I mean, I'm sorry, in this economic environment that we're in,
mm-hmm.
and if they start setting up sides where things as simple as whose side are you on LeBron may not start the next genocide.
Okay.
I'm not saying that.
All right.
But all I know is there was a beginning of when the Germans felt jealous of what Jewish people were doing
in
the economic world.
Right.
And there was a start where a German person was like, damn, this Jewish person has all the money. Right. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick on the Jews that aren't as fortunate, and I'm going to just associate them all as one. So people who may be LeBron fans are being associated to the hate that Ohio's coming up with. Man, this whole trestle thing, man, this is the beginning of race wars and genocide. Man, I'm so sad.
Man, I was hoping that maybe you would just pass out and just maybe run out of words, because I wasn't going to save you, because I know it's the Lefe Blondes. Hey, man. Hey, dude. Like, Rodimus Prime's question was, can hate be a bandwagon? I say yes. In fact, hate is the biggest bandwagon, because before this even happened and he'd had a decision, people didn't hate LeBron. But the media was saying, oh, dude, he's made this big decision, all this stuff. And all of a sudden, this hate bandwagon got really big. And you know what? I was feeling like LeBron was kind of wrong for saying that in the press conference, but not hearing about all the stuff I had to deal with, I don't think he's wrong. I don't think necessarily by him saying those people got to wake up and live their life and I'm going to go and live my life is wrong. Because honestly, that's the truth, dog. Most people who hate, really, I mean, me and you pretend like we hate, really. I mean, we hate on, like, I don't want the Yankees to win or something like that. But that doesn't consume us like the people we're talking about who it consumes. And I guarantee you 99% of the people who hate consumes and they have a problem with LeBron, they have shitty lives, bruh. So in essence, he was telling the truth. They might not like it that he's telling the truth, because you're supposed to speak like magic and not say certain things that come to your head. But in all essence, in all honesty, I almost respect LeBron for saying that, because hey, if you're going to be the bad guy, you might as well roll out and roll hard. And by saying that, it's the truth, because they're going to wake up and hate LeBron. But you know what? They're sleeping in a place probably that they don't want to be at, and LeBron is still going on with his life and loving it. Can't be mad.
Well, here's an interesting thing, and I'm going to take the atypical avenue down this street real quick. First thing about LeBron's statement that struck me was that I think he was lying about him saying it doesn't bother him.
Oh, he's lying through his teeth.
Well, so what I'm saying? So when you're lying that it doesn't bother you, everything behind that I kind of ignored. But you're right. It does bother them.
It bothers him. That's why he said that statement.
Yeah. And these people do have to wake up to their shitty lies. And you know who made the most interesting point to this whole thing? Me and Mike was sitting up here before you came, setting it up, and I read Mike that quote.
So Mike says he has a shit. Oh, so of course.
No. Nice. Mike says, well, shit, so does he. He got to wake up tomorrow, too, with the same problems.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's like your problems aren't bigger than mine. And like Biggie says.
Yeah.
You're nobody till somebody kills you.
Let's be honest, we all like to look our best no matter where we're at. At 2x2 Hair and Makeup Artistry, they take that seriously. 2x2 Hair and Makeup Artistry, specializing in all hair textures and skin tones, available on location for weddings, runway, and print, commercial projects, or just because. Join the multitudes of people who have gone to 2x2 Hair and Makeup Artistry, like Muhammad Ali, Cedric the Entertainer, Tommy Davidson, Busy Bone, DMX, Young MC, and even CeCe Peniston. That's 2x2 Hair and Makeup Artistry. Contact Lori Gregory at 623-521-5934, where you can get the makeover of your dreams. That's 623-521-5934.
You're listening to the Atypical Sports Show.
Mr. Burgundy, I want to thank you for coming out here to Connecticut to do this audition.
Thank you for having me. What is the name of this network again? ESPN?
No, ESPN.
That's a terrible name.
So let's go to college sports. The University of Notre Dame announced today that it will change its mascot from the Fighting Irish to the Fighting Doberman Pinscher Genitalias. Students were outraged at the news.
That wasn't the story that we had on the prompter.
Well, of course, I made it up, because I've got nothing here. You're giving me baseball and hockey, and I got my keister blown in the wind. I'm made to look like a fool here.
It's sports.
All around the clock, sports all the time.
That's the concept of the news.
Oh, that's never going to work. That's ridiculous. I mean, that's like a 24-hour cooking network or an all-music channel. Ridiculous. That's really dumb. Seriously, this thing is going to be a financial and cultural disaster. Sports Center. Think about that. That's just dumb.
Thanks for coming in, Mr. Burgundy. I think that's it. Obviously, we're not going to be hiring you.
Good. I don't want anything to do with this place. This place is run by a bunch of children.
All right, that's uncalled for.
Steve, get him.
Welcome back to the Atypical Sports Show. Your host, Robin Key, 480-664-9378. Drop us an A-tip. Let us know what you think about what's going on with LeBron. Let us know what your views and your feelings are about the NBA, about Dallas Mavericks going to the club, bringing that trophy with them, and just clowning them fools. So holla at you, boys. So, man, before the break, man, hate.
No. You know what, and that's funny because we started to show off on a negative tone. We started to show off talking about the losers, and I don't think we've mentioned one thing besides me basically comparing the winner to Nazi world.
Yeah, that was really great.
Yeah, that's BS. But at the same time, man, I got to give props to some of the positive stories that we know we were prepared for before this happened.
Right.
We knew even if the Mavericks won, we still had positive things to say about those
definitely,
guys.
Oh, definitely.
And they lived up to more than I thought they could.
Right.
Especially our fellow alum, Jason Terry.
You know what I'm saying?
Came through, represented, and that tattoo on the forearm is something that he can get away with because he has no expectations. But I'm glad he has it, because golly, imagine going through life without that mug.
Dude, did you?
Who
you
has the nuts to do that?
Dude, he said he thought that at the beginning of the year with their staff that they was going to win it. Like, he really felt that way. Dude, who was the last person to talk and back it up the way he did, man?
Who has a tattoo of it?
Dude.
I mean, sure, of the ring, of the belt.
Yes.
Like, seriously, like, and here's the whole thing I'm trying to say. Let's try to compare this to a different sport. Football's coming, hopefully. Like, who?
They wasn't even favored. It's not like they was odds on favor.
I know,
like the Lakers was mentioned. You know, like if Kobe had, I'd be like, I understand. They got everybody. They wasn't even favored. So that, where was he thinking? They was 30. In fact, I read it. They was 30-1 odds at the beginning of the year.
Make a comparison in football. Who would have that tattoo? Like who lost in the Super Bowl?
It's, you know what it is?
Decade.
You know what it is? It's like, no, not even lost in the Super Bowl. It's like Matt Schaub from the Houston Texans. Like putting a Lombardi trophy on his, with like, we about to do this. Like, he has all the talent, but like, you're not even in the running. I mean,
it's almost like Steve Breston with the Cardinals. I mean, seriously, because we've lost before and Fitzgerald takes him to another level.
Right.
People always, Fitzgerald and Nowitzki's almost the same type of character. They always could have been the best. They lost, they failed, they balled in situations.
Right.
But he's not the man.
Right,
like Breston could have been the man, and he's running around talking about, we going to win the Super Bowl.
Right, with a belt tattooed on,
like
on a small
exactly
of his back.
Exactly the same thing to me. Like, I'm trying to think of other Super Bowl losers. Of teams that are perennial losers and they happen to get that shot and they've lost it. And realistically, I don't see any chance of the Cardinals.
So is it like Don Beebe sporting a Lombardi trophy, a tattoo on his shoulder after they lost to the
exactly.
Giants?
Yeah, that's another perfect example.
All right.
And one thing, another positive thing that I was hyped about was The Matrix, man. The Matrix was one. I'll tell you one thing. If somebody told me before the season started, yo, there's going to be an obscure forward that used to be a perennial all-star, which in itself is a surprise when you think about the history of it. But this forward is actually going to turn into a defensive stopper, and he's going to have to guard Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, and LeBron James, and he's going to be on the winning side of that. Can you name three forwards that are better than the three that he just guarded in
a
row?
Not at all. Not at all. Well, I mean, the match
another
of every
winner. To me, I mean, as far as here. And every winner we're saying, and this is our attempt to make this a local show.
Are you happy to Jason Kidd?
Another local show. Another local situation. And I counted it. There was five local situations that
Kidd.
Jason Terry. I just mentioned him, Marion. And then on the other side, and like I said, I mean, just as far as if you're talking about five players out of 24 players, Bibby and House. And Eddie House, what do you think about that dude just coming out there like, I'm doing my job. I'm shooting. That's what I do.
Dude,
why were you waiting so long? And he came out there with no confidence.
Dude, why did it? I think, dude.
But Bibby didn't play. So it's like, it's either like, it was like, you know, because, Eddie House is married to Bibby's sister. So it's like when you go
Eddie
to
Eddie House is married to Bibby's sister.
Yeah. Eddie House is married to Bibby's sister. Or is it the other way around? No, yeah, that's it. You didn't know that?
No.
See, man, that's why sometimes I do the show with you and I'm so
I don't read the back pages of MediaTakeOut.com, nigga. I don't know.
Sorry.
But Eddie House, why would you marry another nigga's sister?
That's, I mean, everybody's bad karma. Married everybody's sister. She just happened to be
one of 220 people who play professional sport in the world. Yeah, that's that. Like, there's not millions of them else out there.
Well, obviously, she's from Arizona. Secondly, right. He went to Arizona State. I mean, when you're in college, he probably met her. I mean, I don't know the story. Right. It's just, it's beyond.
I was trying to make you make up a story all about it and shit, how it happened.
No, I don't know how it happened. I just know she's from Arizona. He went to Arizona State. And back to the point, 5 out of the 24 active players have Arizona ties, strong Arizona ties. And I'm glad to see that. And I'm also glad to see Mark Cuban in a weird way. I don't even know why I like this wormy-ass guy. But
I like him winning, man.
Good for him.
I do like him winning. I can't even front, dude. I ain't mad at it, dude, because I think that a lot of people, like they said, they made the point a couple times last night, which I'm going to repeat, is that he could have blew the team up, man. And he didn't. He stuck with Dirk. And, you know, one of the key things
he blow it up. He only got 2 players from the team.
No, I'm talking about when they lost to the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, he still only has 2 players off the team.
No, I'm talking about blowing up like, oh, I'm going to trade Dirk Nowitzki, or I'm going to trade Jason Terry. Getting rid of everybody on the roster.
Blow it up. I mean, obviously, you're not going to get rid of the best 2. I think he did blow the team up. Like,
who was a point guard when they played?
Devin Harris. I'm saying he blew it up, and that's another thing that matter of fact, I'm glad you brought that up because he didn't stick with the team. He made gutsy moves where people was like, "You bringing in Jason Kidd? Devin Harris is the next blah blah blah." Right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's matter of fact. You and I'm not trying to make you change your mind, but I'm just trying to use your statement as an example where good for him because he had the nuts to do that. He picked up a scrappy Chandler that didn't even pass the physical for Charlotte. Like people, I mean, for New Orleans, was it New Orleans? No. He was going to actually, I don't know. There was a team that nobody wanted Chandler. Tyson Chandler was done.
Right.
I mean, Deshaun Stevenson, he was messing around on planes with Arenas. I mean, he got a lot of people that nobody really wanted. He blew the team up. He literally blew the team up. If the Miami Heat keep Wade and LeBron, you know what that's called? And I mean, they get rid of everybody else, that's blowing the team up.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? You get rid of 10 people, it's amazing that there's only 2 people off of that team, to me.
Right. Was the next year, so they lost the final, the next year did they lose to Golden State?
Was that the next year? In the first round after he won MVP.
Right.
That was in 2007.
Wasn't that embarrassing? That was so embarrassing.
That was so embarrassing. And that's why, remember I told you, man, I said, dude, I don't want my boy D. Rose to win the MVP because nothing good going to come out of it.
Right. I remember that, man. And I remember when he accepted that, I was all weird. Hey, and he's a, yeah.
Locker room and whatever.
Exactly. That's embarrassing, man.
Let's talk more about this game. And I'm glad we got out of the, I'm glad. Oh, no. You want to talk about JT real quick? I know that's
man,
your love,
I mean,
you
see,
know.
Because let me tell you something, dude. There's very few people out there, you know, representing the TAC, your hometown. Very few people out there who would talk shit to probably one of the greatest basketball players of our generation and be able to back it up, dog. I mean, not only back it up, but hit jumpers in his eyeballs, just right in his face, and got more confident. And when he said, I gotta be honest with you, when he said, let's see if he could do it for 7 games, I was like, oh shoot, he gonna embarrass us. He gonna really
us,
embarrass
like
us.
You said us,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
like
dude.
This dude.
Yeah, dude.
Because
why?
Because he's
from Tacoma, Washington. And he went to my high school.
That's it.
So it's like the hometown. So I'm like, he's gonna embarrass us, you know, by just talking smack like that and not being able to back it up. Dude, right now, he's a legend.
Let me ask this question. Who's the best high school player to ever come out of Seattle? I mean, my bad. Who's the best basketball player to ever play high school in Seattle, from Seattle? He's definitely on the Mount Rushmore. I mean, it's not even because there's probably people who have more skills, but if you know what you do and you do what you know and you do it the best way you do what you know what that means? You one of the top 4. That's Mount Rushmore. Can you even name the 4?
The 4 who?
The 4 greatest people coming out of Seattle. I can do the Phoenix off the top of my head.
Well, I'm trying.
Mark Allery.
I'm trying to decide, man. There's a couple. Okay, so I know there's
Nate Robinson.
No. Happy Birthday. He's not in there. Okay. Brandon Roy.
Good call.
Brandon Roy. Jason Terry, obviously.
Michael Dickerson.
Crawford. Jamal Crawford. From Atlanta Hawks.
No, I know.
I think there's a couple more. I don't want to put Nate Robinson in there. Danielle Marshall.
I put Nate Robinson over.
Over Danielle Marshall?
Yeah, Nate Robinson is relevant in the NBA.
Man, your boy Marvin Williams.
Jimi Hendrix.
He had a game. And what's your boy?
Bruce Lee.
And what's your boy, Quincy Jones?
He from Seattle?
No, I don't know, but that nigga from there somewhere.
Oh, he likes white girls. I know that African dude that was in the James Bond movies.
Octopussy?
No, the African dude that you swear you knew his son or something.
Oh, Yaphet Kotto.
Yeah.
Yaphet Kotto's from there. Oh, yeah, my God, you remember that shit. Yaphet Kotto. Yeah, he went to Curtis. Yaphet Kotto. Dude, I think that's the only who players right there.
It's all good. And that's enough, man. Because I did mine real quick as far as being from Phoenix. And guess what? Nobody really cares.
You know what? But that's
because
our show.
If you're not
show,
from Chicago or New York or L.A., that is really the pathanon of ball-a-thons. And now that we did all the positive things about the Mavericks, you have any more positive things before?
They're 10-1 odds of winning it next year, and great the Heat ball. Are 5-2,
man, I'm
which
so
is
amazing.
Interesting to me.
Yeah, I wrote that down too.
Which is interesting to me. Why are the Mavericks? You think are ten to one?
It's just more interesting. There's actually four teams higher than
that. Yeah. So Dallas. Let me think. It was Lakers.
Lakers are 11-2.
Lakers.
Basically, it's better to say 5.5-1.
Yeah, Lakers. The Heat, the Bulls,
and OKC.
And OKC.
Yeah. Yep. OKC.
Yeah. And what's OKC?
They are 9-1. I think the best bet, realistically, if I had like $10 to waste, I put $10 on Portland 30-1.
Dude, do you think, who do you think, like, what did you? You didn't respond to my comment about LeBron getting a 15-foot pull-up shot. And remember when Jordan was deadly, like, because you didn't know he was going to take it a hole. Seems to me very clearly that LeBron was either shooting threes or he was taking it all the way to the basket. He never was taking it halfway to the basket and pulling up like Dwayne Wade with a 15-footer. Well, and isn't that one of the most toughest shots to defend?
Well, here's what I have to say about that. It's easier for him to perfect a 3-pointer more than it is for a 15-footer.
Of course,
because a 15-footer isn't just shooting 15-footers.
No, it's not.
It's getting to that spot.
And the momentum and being able to control your body and be that touch from right there.
You have to have a move to make a 15-footer.
Well, no, you don't. You just got to have a strong. Jason Terry has a 15-footer. Jason Terry don't do nothing but go right and pull up. He don't ever go all the way to the hole. His 15-footer is money. And everybody knows he's going right. I'm just saying, if LeBron developed just to go right, a quick jab step and a pull up.
That's what I'm saying. You have to make a move to get there. That's all.
Go right. But that's a move that he's making to get all the way to the hole. He has to stop.
He doesn't even go to the hole anymore. JJ Barrera stopped him.
Right, exactly.
Like, I know, it's this whole, like I said, we haven't even talked about how I was watching this game, and this is what really pissed me off about this dude, is I've been defending this guy vehemently, like, oh my God, he's the best basketball player for all time. When he's sitting there, I saw a fast break where literally it was Jason Terry on him.
Yes.
And they almost had the numbers.
Right.
And he pulled up. Like, dude, are you hurt? I don't know. If you're hurt, maybe you shouldn't make that cough joke about Nowitzki.
Yes.
Maybe you should say you're sick too.
Right.
If you're going to lie about you not being mad about the people hating on you, and lie about being hurt so I can feel better about
For all the trust, at least lie to me and tell me you've been injured.
I've been hurt.
You got appendicitis.
Because that's all I can see is him going to going to the rim and dunking on people. Like, there's nobody on the court besides Tyson Chandler that really could stop him as far as from the Mavericks, because they never put two players like that on the same time.
Right.
I mean, I was looking at it like, goodness gracious, you this is a fast break situation. And I say fast break when even it's 2-on-2.
Dude, it's a fast break with 1-on-2. LeBron used to take it. If it was two dudes backpedaling and LeBron had a full head of steam, what would he do? He'd just take it and dunk on somebody.
LeBron erased all of my preconception that he's the best tight end that can play in the NFL. That's bullshit.
Right.
I used to really believe that.
Right.
That is the biggest false statement that ever came
across. You know
why?
Because it's only Ray Lewis. He's a random Ray Lewis hit away from never catching a pass again.
Well, dude, it's not even Ray Lewis hit. It's just somebody breathing. Or you could put up freaking Jason Sehorn the way J.J. Barea was on him. It's like, I'm just saying, it's the equivalence of somebody putting a nickel back on Randy Moss all of a sudden.
Here's my question.
I mean, Randy Moss in his prime.
Right. Here's my question. There was a point where LeBron grabbed a rebound and he finger rolled it back in. And I'm like, he's 6'8".
I saw that.
Why wouldn't he dunk that?
Like he was 6'3".
Why was it? Dude, when he got that board, he's incredibly explosive. How come he wouldn't jump up and just poke on everybody? you know what? I'm tired of trying to come up with an explanation for him.
I'm at this point. Go ahead, Rob. I'm tired of coming up
with an explanation with him.
I'm done.
I'm not trying to come up with an explanation anymore about LeBron.
You know what?
You know what? The chapter's closed for me. All I got to say is, nigga, I'll see you in 3 months. And if you don't got a 15-footer or a post-up game, I don't want to hear shit. I will ride you for the rest of your career.
If I was Pat Riley, I'm so irrational right now in my emotions. I'm so fragile. Yeah, I would trade him. And you know what? That sounds crazy. That sounds very crazy right now.
Not as crazy,
but obviously, I don't think those two people match. And those two people,
you don't think they match or will ever match?
Ever match?
I don't think they will.
Like I told you in the last show, when they had that little argument in Game 3, LeBron has never been the same, and I think that hurt his feelings. Like I said before, as soon as that happened, shit got weird. Real weird. Right. And it's almost like D-Wade wants LeBron to be his puppet. Like, right. Even with that joking with the Nowitzki thing, right. That was like almost D-Wade coaching him to say that. Even the decision might have been a evil mastermind D-Wade thing.
No, here's the deal. I just think LeBron has finally looked up to somebody. Okay? He wants to be like D-Wade.
I think he's tired of it, though.
No. I think that he did. Here's the deal. I think the reason why he did go into a shell after D-Well cussed him out is because D-Wade probably called his ass out, mm-hmm. the first person who ever has. And D-Wade probably knows him better than anybody. D-Wade knows personal probably things about LeBron's.
You know what?
Quiet.
I got it right now. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I don't think I've ever heard this perspective. But it comes down to this. When men compare each other to men, you always compare each other to women. Their women are on different levels. D-Wade's woman is Hollywood. I can tell you that. If they ever go in a setting where Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade go somewhere, she's a star too. But guess what? D-Wade still has her in check. When they're on the road, he still can do what he can do. He don't have to check up with her. You know why? Because she's Hollywood and she's secure. And she's away too. When LeBron's with his baby's mom, he's probably getting that old Akron drama. Where you been? Blah, blah, blah. Where he's still checking in on that. And she's probably not as sophisticated as Gabrielle Union when they go to social settings.
Nigga, what are you talking about? So what's this got to do with?
That has to do with I look up to D-Wade because D-Wade has a Hollywood broad.
Oh.
And maybe that's what LeBron's like. I don't have a Hollywood broad. My girl is from my hometown.
Oh, no. I think that could be. Now, I agree with the part that him having a Hollywood life and him having a Hollywood broad.
D-Wade is more Hollywood polished with a woman.
Right. So he looks up to him, but I don't think he looks. It's not because he's looking at his wife like he ain't got it. He just looks up to him about where he's at status wise.
Status wise is your girl too. Right. That's the whole persona.
Right. But you don't act like LeBron ain't out there doing his thing anyway. You don't give a damn.
Exactly. But at the same time, when they're going to award shows, I can tell you this.
Please tell me this.
Is LeBron is hearing from his girl, she thinks she all that. She don't talk to me.
This nigga always putting words in people's mouth.
I'm like magic right now.
Okay, all right.
All I know is when they go out, Gabrielle Union is not worried about LeBron's girl more than she's worried about Gabrielle Union because Gabrielle's getting more and their friends and all. It's like a club in high school. She's the mean girl. Gabrielle Union is the mean girl without even being mean because she ignores her. And you know who hears all that?
What?
LeBron hears that. He hears all those complaints.
This is amazing. This story is turned from a supposition to actual truth.
That's how simple life is sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes because people say, what's wrong with him? What's wrong? Why is wrong with LeBron? Dude, 75% of the time something wrong with a dude is wrong at home. He can't go home at peace.
Do you think that Dwayne Wade said, quit being a bitch, man? You need to stop being a bitch and come on. To help me out win this game.
I think when he ended,
you see LeBron's face when he did. Yep. Like LeBron kind of argued back with him, mm-hmm. and Dwayne like cut him short, like shut the mm-hmm. like almost that. And uh-huh. LeBron shut his mouth uh-huh. yep. and looked the other way. Like,
and guess what?
He said, "My girl ain't that cute."
Nope. Guess what? He started to side with what his wife was saying. Like, they are evil. Like you know what I'm saying? Because she's probably said to him, like, she kept me down.
I can't roll with that. I can't roll with that, dog.
Well, you don't have to roll with it. All right. That's just my philosophy. I'm not saying it's fact. This is just my interpretation of sometimes I see stuff going on like that. I know you've been in a car with your wife, and she's talking shit about another girl, and you got to hear it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And that's all I'm saying. He hears it on a different level.
Okay, I get you. I get you.
Welcome back to the Atypical Sports Show. Woo, that last segment was so irresponsible. But you know what?
No, remember we used to announce that we could be reckless.
Yeah, it was so reckless.
We like being reckless, though.
I felt bad about me making those comments because if I would be in
LeBron Glory Online 1.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm making comments. You have to make comments where you're comfortable saying it in front of the people you're talking about. And exactly. I'm not comfortable saying that because, like I said, I want to reiterate back to that segment. That was just off of my crazy mind that I just thought of right now. My notes don't even reflect that. I just thought of that right now.
I appreciate that.
You know what my notes do reflect?
What?
I was very interested, and this is a damn shame. I have to write that on my notes. Ask Rob about his weekend or his feelings might get hurt. So I wrote down on my notes real big right here. I got asterisk. Ask Robert about his weekend.
Oh, you know, my feelings aren't hurt at all. You know, ultimately, these people got to go home and they got to actually go listen to other radio podcasts and realize they got shittier podcasts listening to what we have. So it doesn't bother me at all.
I
got
to go home and listen to my wife complain about a Hollywood star that's been in movies with LL Cool J.
All of a sudden, I got to go home and hear my wife talk about Key and the fact that he was in a rap group and he hung out with Ice Cube. You know, and I got to hear that.
How was your weekend?
I ain't going to measure up. Man, my weekend was crazy. So what I did, my son played in a passing league. They got these football passing leagues, kind of like you saw on E60.
Passing me by.
Like, on Outside the Lines, these passing leagues and stuff. So we went up to Flagstaff, and NAU's at Flagstaff, Northern Arizona University. They got that big dome, and they have some practice fields. So, nigga, I'm going to tell you this story like we on the phone right now, okay? So We're there's 24 teams there. Bachelor High School was the son of a gun, so he plays DB. And they made it to the top four Okay, so they cut down. They made it to the. They had a bye. Made top four. The top four teams were Chaparral, whose starting quarterback is going to University of Texas next year, and Devontae Neal, who's the receiver DB, who's had offers from full ride offers from Alabama, USC, LSU, like the number one recruit DB receiver in Arizona, and so they're in a passing league. There's no pads at all. It's basically 7-on-7. For, you know, there's like four receivers, two running backs, and a quarterback. 7-on-7. Really easy. If you have a great quarterback, you're going to win passing league. So anyway, they had a great quarterback. Yeah, So the funny part was, dude, I walked to the bench. So we start to play Chaparral. Chaparral's won the last three championships and 5A2, which is a lower division than my son's division.
Wait, time out. Championships like passing league championships?
No, state championships. Okay. They won the last 2 years. And it's a 5-2, so it's a division lower. They actually had an opportunity to petition up this past year and go up and play in the 5A1 division, but they decided not to, Key, because they wanted to stay down in lower one where they can dominate. So anyway, I walk up and there's this nigga.
I ain't mad at him either.
I walked up and there's this nigga. There's these stands. And this nigga standing up there with a BYU.
Five times.
Oh, I got to say it because I feel this way. Okay. He's had a BYU sweats on. And a BYU sweat jacket on.
Did you tell him you ain't getting none after this weekend? You better get all.
Do an older man, you know, like a brother. He looked like Robert.
Not a player.
No, it's like a dad. Okay. He looked like Robert Guillaume from Benson. He looked like Benson, okay. But a skinnier version. Yeah, okay. Benson and Jeffrey had a baby from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Okay,
so he's standing there and he's talking all fast. Like, yeah, he's talking all fast. So basically, Chaparral, they're up 21, 14 on us.
He had on BYU gear? Yeah,
dude, let me get to it, dude. Okay. He's like, he basically, we're down 21-14 and he's telling his woman, oh, shut the door. The game's over. These fools ain't got nothing. Next, let's get him out of here. Bye. Like, just talking like that, really, for about 15 minutes, Key. And so Devin caught a touchdown, right? And then Devin caught another touchdown. And then their son, Devontae Neal, Devin was guarding him. And it was right before the half. And they was trying to throw deep. And Devin was running step for step with him. So they didn't get another overthrew him and everything. It was incomplete. And Devin does a U-turn and just starts shaking his head like that. You know, like, no go. You know, like that. So this dude keeps talking smack. Finally, I couldn't do it. Nigga, everything inside me was not going to say nothing and be ignorant. Because this dude was ignorant. And I said, finally, you know, I didn't know what to say in my head. You know how me, dude. I'm always trying to think of something smart. I don't know. I don't want to come aggressive and be like, first of all, the first thing that came out I said is like, I was going to say, I usually don't even talk to niggas with BYU and stuff on. I was going to say that. I was like, you know what? That made me look ignorant because there's white people around everything. So finally, only thing I could say, I was like, hey, did you guys petition up? That's all I said. Ain't worried about it, baby. Got two rings, baby. Got two rings, baby. I was like, dude, I just want to know, did you guys petition up? I got two rings, baby. I go, you got two rings? He goes, my son's Devontae Neal. My son's Devontae Neal. I was like, okay. So, and then he said, whatever, baby, whatever. I was like, honestly, really, I just really wanted to know the question. So one of the moms said, I think we didn't petition that. We're still in 5A2. I was like, thank you very much for answering that question. That's all I really wanted to know. Ooh. And then he said, well, all I had to tell you is that my son's Devontae Neal. I was like, my son's Devin Reed. And he's like, so? I was like, that's the nigga who caught two touchdowns and was running side by side, set for set with your son. And he's like, well, he ain't going to USC. I was like, all right, whatever.
Well, why you got to be all you gear on?
Huh? I didn't ask him.
Wait, but see, what USC got to do with anything?
I have no idea because USC offered him full ride. Devontae Neal.
But he's wearing BYU gear.
I was so confused. That's why I didn't want to say. I usually don't talk to niggas with BYU jerseys before. Yeah. That was what I was going to say, yeah. But I didn't say that. But it was just a fact. It was a perfect example
of. I need some more, man.
Dude.
I mean, he's a Mormon. Is he Mormon?
Yeah, I think he. No, he's not a Mormon. Definitely okay. Not a Mormon. Because okay. Devontae went to Cesar Chavez freshman year and he was good. Yeah. But it was just a perfect example of how. We have delusions of grandeur about our kids, you know, and living through our kids. The same way that I understand LeBron being mad because the way he sees it is these fools are living through him. Their excitement about him losing is almost more excitement than they have in their everyday lives. So when he stooped to the level that they were and punked them and said, listen, you got to go back to your lives. I understand where he's coming from. But you know what? Attitudes like that don't ever win. They never win in the end. All they end up doing is setting yourself up for failure. So hopefully LeBron works on his games in the summertime and he's not failing. But like that dude, Devontae Neal's dad, you're failing, dude, when you talk like that because it's not even about that.
You're
it's
dropping names, and I respect that about this.
I don't care.
You have your reckless error.
Yeah, I do not. I wish this nigga would call in 480-664-9378, Robert Guillaume.
Wow. You know what? The only thing I could think about is...
Google Devontae Neal. The nigga's hard, dude. For real. He's top... I mean, for real. Like, USC, like, he got skills.
Where is where is the decorum, the class, the modesty of the typical sports show right now?
You know,
I can't wait until I see the typical sports show fall on their face because Rob is an egotistical maniac and Key is a babbling, rumor-infested, ignorant fool.
Rumor-infested. Yeah. Storytelling maker-upper.
Yeah. I hate those guys, dude. It's like every time I see Key riding around in his freaking 15-year-old Nissan, like it's freaking, it's a gold Mercedes-Benz. I want to flat his tires.
You want to flat his tires?
You know what, though? Forget all that, dude. I let's go to positive things in the show. People were born today, and guess what? I got to celebrate their birthday, even if they're not living, because I like posthumous
birthday.
I
know you love that.
And it's June 14th, and happy birthday to these fools. And since it's baseball season, this guy's still alive, man. This actually is one of the most incredible. Don Newcomb, how old do you think he is? Do you even know the Don Newcomb? Los Angeles Dodgers, the Dodgers great, Robert.
Isn't that what happened in Hiroshima? At Don, we nuked him.
Sorry, dude. Don Newcomb is the only baseball player to have won the Rookie of the Year, Most Valuable Player, Cy Young Awards, and 1949, he became the first black pitcher to start in a World Series game.
Wait a minute. First of all, Don Newcomb's black?
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, he's black as hell. He's black. He's not black as you. He's like
Puerto Rican black.
He's Puerto Rican black, but he's not from Puerto Rico.
Really?
Yeah, he's the first person to win the MVP in a Cy Young and Rookie of the Year. Not in the same year.
I didn't know that.
And
all right,
he's
good.
85 years old today.
He's 85?
Yeah. He played with Roy Campanella.
Did he play in the Negro Leagues at all?
He played with I don't actually. You know what? Don't give me the line, but he played with your boy Jackie Robinson. Happy birthday. I got a lot of milestone birthdays today, dude. And this is the person right here. This next birthday is happy birthday. And she turned. Actually, no, I'm not going to tell you how old she turned. I want you to tell me how old Marla Gibbs turned.
Marla Gibbs from 227?
Yeah, 227, Jefferson, Florence.
She's probably 74.
80.
Damn.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Here's the whole thing. If Florence is 80, how old is George and Weezy right now?
They dead.
Hopefully.
I think so. Sherman Hemsley.
Sherman Hemsley.
Smoking on that Sherman Hemsley.
Smoking on that Marley Gibbs.
Smoking on that 227.
Smoking on that Don Newcomb.
Smoking on that Jackie.
Smoking on that Cy Young. That MVP.
Smoking on that Negro League cigar.
Smoking on that 227 Regina King.
Ooh, smoking on that Stoop.
Smoking on that Hal McDaniel. You don't know Hal McDaniel was the dad in
the dad. The dad. It was Hal McDaniel.
Because it's no waste like home. And here's the one thing about 227.
Smoking on that Calvin.
You remember the Calvin? And the old lady was from Friday.
Yeah, she was.
And she's the same
age. How would you bet she's 37?
How is she still alive? Marla Gibbs is older.
I think Marla Gibbs is older than her. Because I think she might have had that Golden Girls makeup on where she like really Janet Jackson. And then they dressed her up all like old. Smoking on that Janet Jackson.
I got one of the funniest text in my life right now.
Right,
okay. Kevin, KK, old KK, back in the day, all the old school nation, he called me today. I ain't talked to this dude in a couple months. He called me. I missed the call. I replied to him, 480-664-9378.
Why?
Because I don't know. And he said, is that your new cell phone number? And I said, no, that's the A-tip line. His response was, do you want to read it? It might be funny if you read it.
What was his response? His response, A-tip voicemail player. No. So if I just want to talk to you, whether or not it's about sports, I can only talk to the 8-10 voicemail. You've turned into LeBron.
I just hit people up with the 480-664-9378.
Is that how you deal with people now? That's my voice. Yeah, that's my voicemail. Yeah, leave a message. Yeah. Hey, if you can't talk to my peeps, you can't talk to me.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Happy birthday to... how old is Pat Summitt today?
Oh, she about 64.
She older than that, dude.
68.
It's your birthday.
Actually,
then happy birthday.
Oh, you gotta do math.
Okay, key math skills. Dude, here's secretly though, man. Secretly, man, I'm on this third blonde lefe blonde blonde. Man, read that alcohol level right there.
Oh, that's sick. 11.2?
6.6. 11.2 ounces.
Oh, 6.6. That's still a lot.
It's not average. 2011 minus 1952. Wow. She'll be 60 next year. She's 59.
Wow.
She's young.
Yeah, she is.
But her son's only like 10, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Happy birthday. Nice. Happy birthday. Actually, these two guys were born on the same day. One of them is your buddy. And he turned, these are both actually monumental birthdays. They both turned 50 today. Sam Perkins and Boy George. Man, Boy George was balling. Oh, man, don't make that face about Boy George, man. That dude, when his shit came out, man,
I've never heard anybody that adamant by a face about Boy George.
Ew. I mean, that was. I don't know what your fear was, but I don't like the phobia.
He had one good song, dog.
No, he had a couple, man.
What do you have? Come on, 6.6. Oh, my phone.
No,
you're on that 20.2.
The slower one. He said, I don't know, dude, but it was slower.
Dirk Nowitzki looks like a Neanderthal. He's one of the first people that actually started walking.
Oh, guess what? Guess whose birthday it is too right now, Rob? I like when we're so reckless right now. It's Big Perm's birthday. Faze on love.
Big Perm?
Yeah. How old is that?
Big Perm, he's about 38.
Close, but he's older than us.
40?
43.
Is he
Big
really?
Perm.
Big Perm. Faze on so
love.
Funny.
Faze on love, man. He's a... Wait, am I tripping? No, Faison Love is Big Pun. I'm not talking about the dude from Scrubs. What's his name?
No, that's Faison. Donald Faison.
Yo, okay. I felt like I didn't do my research. But he actually shares a birthday with another one of your homeboys from the UNLV, like your favorite UNLV player.
Stacey Augmon.
No, favored her. Like favorite.
Anderson Hunt.
Favorite. He don't get too much
Larry
props.
Johnson.
Favorite.
Greg Anthony.
Favorite.
George Jackals.
Favorite.
Stacey Augmon.
Favorite.
Oh.
Like favorite. Like so, like, you know the rules, gotta do what you gotta do.
Larry Johnson.
Moses Curry.
Uglier than Moses Curry. That's one of the ugly. How old is Moses Curry right now?
I don't care how ugly or how old he is, but I bet you in Vegas he was doing a lot more things.
Oh, man, he was doing some evil things.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Moses.
What, how old is he?
43. Same birthday as Faison.
Wow, 43 years old, huh?
And actually, I'm going to end a couple right now with you. Do you want to hear... They both were born on the same day. Exact same day. They can't be from two further worlds. One is German and one's from Compton.
Dirk Nowitzki.
No, this is 1969. I'll give you that hint. If you guess one of them, I'd be amazed. One's from German. One's a female German, and the other one is a black male from Compton.
Ice Cube?
Nope.
Dr. Dre?
Nope. This is interesting.
Hold DLC?
Nope. That's three. Nope.
MC Ren.
Yes, he's the fourth person you think of in NWA, basically.
Yeah.
I guess that's about right.
Yeah, MC Ren and from Germany.
And actually, DLC from Dallas, which is another weird kind of coalition with what's going on today.
Ah.
We had his birthday last week.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah, VCR.
VCR.
We sound like slaves.
And German, female? Katie Lang.
Steffi Graf.
Ooh.
I wouldn't even go.
Steffi Graf, but I like her.
You know who else like her?
Andre Agassi.
Yeah, he's a bald headed meth head that wore wigs.
480-664-9378. And we reached our limit of people that we can offend today. So actually, the FCC is kicking us off the air right now. So if you want to holler at us before next week's show, make sure you hit us up on twitter.com/atypicalsports and hit us up on our podcast, the website you are listening to us on, as well as subscribe to us on iTunes. In other words, this is Key. This is Rob, the Atypical Sports Show. Forever!
The black ninja that you call Win.
I beat somebody down on the stretches for the hell of it. Damn a little punk piece of poop, took a time of it. I don't give a damn, I beat a fool like he stole some. And then I let the little sucker know where it's coming from. I'm from Compton, everybody's on the wagon. I'm looking for people that's thinking that they're the bomb, that's who I'm tagging. Never asking questions, I just go right in and do it. And if you're thinking that you can step the ring, you know you're already blew it. Like I said before, fools wanna fit my shoes.
But after stepping on rent, they're giving a rhyming and singing the blues. Me and DJ Clay dropping bombs like a beat too. So you should get the picture, or if not, you get a preview. That we don't play one bit, cause MC Ren ain't a brother that you wanna try and get with. Knock a fool out in my spare time to keep myself occupied when I'm not busting up a rhyme. Writing dope songs that you love to hear, cause MC Ren is the final frontier.